Thank you for downloading this episode of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and give us a rating and review on iTunes. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on JBT Pod, trades, trades, and more trades. We'll be discussing all the NBA trades this week. And free agency kicked off last night. We'll be discussing the big money contracts, including who stayed and who left. And over in New York, the Knicks have seen the light and have gotten rid of Phil Jackson. We'll be discussing where it leaves their franchise and where their future's headed. And be sure to join us for a brand new edition of Hashtag Alternative Fact as we rate all the free agency rumors. So shut up, sit down, because JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you are listening across the world. Welcome to this edition of Just Ball Things NBA Podcast. My name is Nick Busink, and my personal best for cheesy puffs in my mouth is 10. Is this a new thing
we're doing now, Nicholas? Like, we're just doing random facts about your horrible life?
Yep. You can question them if you'd like.
So I think people are going to fast forward the first 2 minutes of our podcast. That's safe to say.
Sounds about right. And with me today, who is rudely interrupting, on this episode 1.28, we have the J-Man J-Pod, Jack Emanuel. How are we, mate?
Mate, I'm very good, but I'm feeling a bit upset because didn't get a response from Jimmy G Buckets. We gave him a message the other day.
I think you're a little late to the party. He was taking calls, but he can't be responding to messages, mate. He's a busy man.
Oh, come on. WhatsApp, I feel like a thing would be Jimmy Buckets. Like, you know, maybe iPhone messages that you just skim through and leave them. But WhatsApp's a bit more special. Did you message him, Nicholas?
I did not. By the time I saw it, it was already well and truly done. I was like, nah, too late. I would have liked... He's not going to pick up a freaking... Plus, mate, that's a lot of money. I can't afford to make some international fancy calls, even if it is to Jimmy G.
1-800 reverse.
Even if... You think he's got to accept the collect charges? He's going to be like, no, fuck this guy. It's like, mate, you just signed... You're earning millions. You give me the couple of dollars just to give me the pleasure to talk to you, you piece of shit.
For those that are wondering, check out the Facebook page, but I wrote on my message to him, "Hi, Jimmy, I was wondering if you actually had a butler. Get it? Because it's in your name. Looking forward to hearing from you. Kind regards."
That's probably why he didn't answer you, because you're a fucking idiot.
Do you think Jimmy Butler has a butler? Important question.
I hate you.
Does he, though?
You should have asked him about his beatbox. You should have asked him about his boombox bloody fish tank. That's what the people want to know.
It's fair call. All right, I'll message him now. All right? You keep talking about some other stuff.
100%. 100% that was a burner phone, and that number does not exist anymore. There is no way.
I know it doesn't exist anymore, but did you see that, like, on Twitter, obviously, the voicemail, he actually leaves a voicemail. He's like, "Hi, this is Jimmy Butler. Leave your name and message, and especially if you're a hater." So he obviously has a burner phone, but I'm just like, it's a nice way to get a bit of fandom going and popularity. And speaking of popularity, Nicholas, segue, there is a stat I saw on Twitter that like exemplifies just the crazy, crazy popularity that's been happening this offseason in the NBA. So the average NBA-related tweets per day during the 2016 regular season was 652,000. During the 2016 free agency, this year's free agency, sorry, it's 800,000. That's ridiculous.
That's a lot of numbers. Those are some big numbers, Jack.
Nick, you're all about the numbers. You're a bloody engineer. Like, you should have some more insight to numbers than just saying those are big numbers.
Numbers are large.
Let's get into some trades, Nicholas, because obviously you're providing me nothing today. So we got some trades, Nicholas. Let's get into the trades.
Yes. Obviously, massive week. It's always a massive week. It's going to be a massive week until the start of the season, really. Everything can keep happening. We'll start with a few of the early ones in the week, some things that have already, you know, if you've they've happened, you've gotten time to digest them. Clippers have traded Chris Paul in a big move, and they have received Lou Williams, Patrick Beverley, Sam Decker, DeAndre Liggins, Darren Hillard, Montrezl Harrell, Kyle Viltja.
I'll play that.
A 2018 first round top three protected pick. And $661,000 in cash money. So they've essentially traded them a team.
It's eight players.
It's
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Eight with the 2018 pick.
In my short experience in actually paying attention to trades, this has to be one of the biggest ones, like in terms of sheer volume.
And that's three players in that list. Three or four players in that list are actually, you know, decent rotation players. One's a starter. Like Patrick Beverley, very serviceable replacement for Chris Paul. Lou Williams, he's going to get your buckets. Sam Decker, nice up-and-coming youngster. People forgot DeAndre Liggins' defensive prowess with the Cavs. Like, I feel like he would have been very useful for the Cavs in the playoffs. And Montrezl Harrell is a nice young piece as well. And Darren Hillard and Kyle Viltja are just two people's names I just don't know.
Yeah,
Can't go wrong with some cash money as well.
Yeah, I mean, getting some more cap space there. But yeah, I mean, obviously this trade for Rockets is great. I mean, I think they gave up a lot. I mean, I can imagine what happened in the trading table is just like, all right, we'll give you Lou Williams, Patrick Beverley, Sam Deck, like the big names. And then Clippers turn around and be like, all right, we'll see how far we can stretch this. How bad do you want Paul? We want Darren Hillard. It's like, fine. Okay, we want Kyle Viltja as well. It's like, fine. Go for it.
Kyle Viltja, Nicholas.
We want Montrezl Harrell. It's like, God damn it. Fine. It's like, no more.
We want $661,000 in cash money.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened.
Did they send over like the cash money in like one of those money sign bags? Or like, is it in a suitcase? Is it like, how does the money... Does this go into like Doc Rivers' pay account?
It's well above my pay grade, mate. I mean, I'm lucky if I see $661,000 in my life. So, yeah. If JBT takes off, mate.
JBT's got a long way to go, mate.
Yeah, that's it.
JBT goals. But we'll be talking about this a bit more in our discussion points because this makes the Rockets a legit contender and makes them have one of, if not one of the best backcourts in the NBA. So we'll be having a bit of a chat about that later. Mm-hmm. But Nicholas, the T-Wolves and the Jazz made a bit of a nice trade. What happened there?
I wonder. After all this speculation of, you know, trying to see how this team works and me saying, you know, Ricky Rubio is a good piece in this team. T-Wolves have gone and traded Ricky Rubio for a first round pick. For a 2018 first round pick via the Thunder that is top 14 protected. They need a point guard, and which we'll get onto later, which they already had.
Yep.
But initially, when this went down, it's just like, all right. Obviously, they had some issues with Rubio. They obviously didn't have a problem playing him all of last season. I think he works. He's a very good defensive player, but, you know, Tom Thibodeau knows more than I. I would have liked to see how Ricky Rubio fits in this team, but obviously he doesn't fit in the plans of the T-Wolves. And Jazz have picked up another guard, and you'd essentially say that George Hill is pretty much out now. But yeah, this is not so much a, you know, big trade, but it's a nice little one.
His fit with the Jazz, I like, Nicholas. You know, Rudy Gobert and Ricky Rubio, I'm going to be liking that pick and roll. And
adds to that defensive, yeah.
Two
very defensive players. Two very good defensive players, yeah.
What was the big one that happened this week, Nicholas? The big one. I mean, Chris Paul, one of the best point guards of our generation, was traded. But the news was absolutely pale in comparison to what happened a couple of nights ago.
That's right. The Wizards had signed Tim Frazier.
I refuse to do this podcast with you ever again. Mention the Wizards. in opportune times. Nick, what actually happened, you horrible, all horrible... Right.
A nice little trade involving the Pacers and Thunder. The Pacers have officially traded Paul George to the Thunder for nothing.
Pretty much.
Domantas Sabonis and Victor Oladipo. No picks in there.
Yeah, no picks at all.
Yeah. I just feel that if Larry Bird was still in charge, this wouldn't have happened.
I was listening to the start of the starters drop pod, and they were talking about the Paul George trade in depth. And I think it just it shows that Kevin Pritchard and, you know, the Pacers front office must be super high on Victor Oladipo, because the offer they could have gotten from the Denver via the Cavaliers was they could have gotten Gary Harris and a first rounder. From the Celtics, they could have got one of those first rounders. I think Jake Crowder was involved in a deal. And then Marcus Smart possibly as well. So I don't understand why they took this. And I think it proves that they must have been just super high on Victor Oladipo. And another little tidbit, that the Thunder actually saved salary by getting rid of Victor Oladipo and Sabonis. So, like, they saved money by taking on Paul George, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. It's insane. The deal that Pritchard had struck there is just absolute gold. I don't know really what Pacers were thinking. I feel that it... The stars...
Presti, not Pritchard.
Oh, sorry, Presti. Yeah, so my mistake.
Yeah.
The starters really shut down the notion of the Pacers not wanting to deal with an Eastern Conference team. I think there's... I feel that there's more salt in that than, you know, there's more depth in that theory than they gave it credit for. I mean,
yeah,
you make Boston an incredible team with Paul George. They are best team in the East. They already are the best team in the East, technically. They add Paul George, they add that piece, and they just become a lot better. They don't want that in their own conference. I mean, I can see that happening. So, and I've it on, well, not good accord, but I've heard that Danny Ainge is quite a man to deal with.
He's like Pat Riley.
Yeah, of course.
A dime a dozen.
So it could have been in spite, but then you don't put the future of your franchise exactly on such a petty thing. But not strengthening your conference is, you know, something that I think is worth looking into. There is no way that if... The report that came out by Woj was that Crowder and another starter got offered, and rumblings are that that's an Avery Bradley. Like, that's what I heard. Why decline that? There is no feasible reason you would decline that offer.
Yeah, and I think you're making a decent point about the whole Eastern Conference thing, Nicholas, because I mean the West has become even more stacked with Paul George heading over there now. If you trade Paul George to the team that knocked them out of the playoffs in the Cleveland Cavaliers, there's got to be some sort of, an ego. There might have been ego in play. I think it's a fair point you bring up. The fact that they couldn't get a first rounder or some sort of a pick or a pick swap, like a second rounder for a first rounder or something, it bewilders belief. But, you know, I think you make a good point, Nicholas. I never thought I'd say that about your basketball knowledge. But, Nicky boy, mate, you're paying attention. I like it. Keep it up, son.
Thank you. I stole it from the experts. No, I mean, they knocked it down. I mean, they knocked it down so quickly. I'm just like, surely there's more into it. I mean, it's a nice game of chess they're playing here. Like, why strengthen your opposition? On the other end, I mean, those draft picks from the Celtics, I mean, if reports are they weren't mentioning anything higher, they weren't any
they weren't the Nets ones.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't any high picks, but it's better than no picks. That's what I mean. So
yeah,
they could have got a lot better a lot better than what they did, but obviously they're quite high on Victor Oladipo. That's the only, it's the only thing that makes sense. I mean, where do you think this leaves the? Well, enough about the Pacers. Where does this leave the Thunder?
Oh man, I'm excited. Paul George and Russell Westbrook.
They finished seventh last year. There is no reason they're not a top four team now, especially now the Clippers are out there. Utah are heading out. If Hayward stays. But there's no reason why Thunder can't finish ahead of Jazz, even with Hayward still there.
Yep.
So you're thinking, obviously, Spurs, Warriors, Rockets definitely now. The two all-star guards could clash. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen there, but you'd think that Dan Turney can figure it out, and they're a top two seed. I reckon they're above the Spurs at the moment. And there's no reason why the Thunder can't be fourth. I mean, they're a serious, serious contender at the moment. But you know, you got to get past the juggernauts of the Warriors, and that's ultimately what it comes down to. And if they can't do that, then what was the point? So that's another bad thing of that sort of win now attitude, because you've put yourself a mighty task to be able to win now. And are the Thunder better than the Rockets at the moment? No. Not with George.
Debatable. There was a good point made during the week, and Chaz just made a good point quickly, that the Thunder are going to need a starting shooting guard. They're going to need to pick up someone in free agency or, the Aussie guy. He's not Aussie, but he played in the NBL. He's going to have to develop rapidly because they don't have a starting shooting guard now. But it's a fair point, Nicholas, because, you know, they now have two stars. You know, Paul George sort of replaces Kevin Durant in a sense, and that year, they pushed the Warriors. How Paul George is almost a better fit alongside Russell Westbrook to me than Kevin Durant. He's not, I feel like he can defer and they can stagger those lineups in a way. And Paul George, his defense probably isn't as good as Kevin Durant's was last season, but he certainly has the defensive prowess to, you know, highlight and lift up, you know, Russell's shortcomings.
He's
in that
not
sense,
a defensive
know.
Liability Russ? By any means.
No, not at all. Yeah. And I mean, it makes the life so much easier for Russ, and that's what, you know, we've all been waiting for. And, you know, I think OKC have become one of my favorite teams to watch in the NBA next year. They're definitely going to be one of those league pass teams with your Timberwolves and 76ers. But alongside all the trades that happened, Nicholas, we had a heap of free agencies and sign-in trades that happened. Let's go through them from what happened earlier in the week to what happened just last night.
Yeah, well, free agency kicked off last night, was it? I mean, because of Australian time, it's a bit weird.
Yeah,
converting
July 1st.
Yeah, July 1st, so sometime yesterday. And already a heap has happened. Some players have re-signed and some have already made the move. Jeff Teague is signed with the Timberwolves for a three-year contract, $57 million, with a third-year player option. So they got their point guard. They've got a very good point guard at that.
But to me, like, out of the point guards that are available, he would have been probably, in terms of fit with Minnesota, I would have rather had George Hill, I would have rather had Kyle Lowry, I would have rather had Patty Mills than Jeff Teague. I said Kyle Lowry. But those three, it's not to say that Jeff Teague probably won't, because he's going to be basically a ball handler, an off-ball handler. He's going to have to improve that three-point shot. I'm not sure what his statistics were last year, but he's not Ricky Rubio by any stretch. He can certainly shoot a lot better than him. But with players like Andrew Wiggins and Jimmy Butler, who, you know, need the ball in their hands, Jeff Teague is going to have to be a sort of off-ball point guard in that sense. And that's where I think George Hill would have fit perfectly. That's where I think Patty Mills would have fit perfectly. But we'll get to Patty in a bit. But, you know, in terms of the payday, 3 years, that's a decent length for the Timberwolves, and $57 million. It's probably, you know, works out well for both parties, for Jeff and the Timberwolves. But it's all coming together for the Timberwolves. They're going to just have to develop that that bench roster. You know, speaking to Kieran a little bit about it, they need, you know, a power forward of some sort. that can provide some defensive prowess. Maybe a Jermichael Green would be a perfect fit from the Memphis Grizzlies, but, you know, we'll wait and see. But, you know, nice move by Teague. If I'm grading it, like, you know, out of a 10, I'd probably give it a 6 for the Timberwolves. I'm not that high on it.
Yeah, I mean, I've just brought up his stats now. He's definitely not a shooter. 44 from the field, 35 from three. So not terrible, not great by any stretch. 12 points.
Sounds
a game.
Like my life, Nicholas.
Five assists, which I thought was a little low, but his career assist numbers are lower than his last year. So he was actually assisting on 8 baskets a game last year, which isn't bad. If he could develop that area of his game, that playmaking ability, like what you said, he's not gonna be running the show. He might be trying to make some plays for some of the bigger boys, but you know, we'll wait and see what happens. Yeah, I mean, there's a whole summer, mate. I'm sure he can maybe improve his shot. I mean, it's a lot is still up in the air with this signing. I mean, I still would have preferred Ricky Rubio. I don't know. So I trust this organization. They've had this sort of train running for a few years now. It's all kind of coming to fruition. So you'd hope that their ideals, I guess, their future aligns with the players and this talent that they've got.
Yep.
Here's hoping, because I really want the Timberwolves to be a force. I'd love to see them in the playoffs this year. They'd be, and you would. You'd think you would with the signings that they've made.
Oh, Jimmy Butler, you're a top 10 player.
Exactly.
I think
exactly.
They're going to the playoffs.
Exactly.
It'd be a severe disappointment if they don't.
Yeah, that's right. They just need to shore up that defense. Next free agent signing. Bit of a predictable one, I think. I saw it coming. Blake Griffin has re-signed with the Clippers, 5-year, $173 million contract, getting paid in LA. I like this for the Clippers. They had to keep one of them, didn't they? I mean, they couldn't get rid of both of them. I mean, a lot of people were saying it's like, just blow it up properly. You don't want to demoralize the fans like that. I don't think it's
and especially when they're trying to move out of Staples Center. And Steve Ballmer's trying to get them their own presence. And I think it's Inglewood or somewhere. So, like, yeah, you need to have a relevant franchise in LA alongside the Lakers, because you're basically battling for airtime and media time. And Blake Griffin is, when healthy, like, this guy was a top 4 player. He finished high in the MVP 3 or 4 years ago from memory. And, I mean, yeah, look, if you're going to pay someone, you can do worse than Blake Griffin. It's just his injury history is something that's a little bit sketchy, but I do like this signing. And one thing I wanted to mention, Nick, I read an article earlier in the week on The Ringer, and they were saying how Blake Griffin's in the Chris Paul era, the big three of Clipper era, he was under his playmaking abilities were really underutilized, and that's one of his strengths, his passing.
Yeah, definitely.
And where he was forced to become more of a shooter, more of that bang and down player, whereas now this allows him to be a sort of maybe a hybrid ball handler, which I really want them to do, because that's where the NBA is trending with, like, your Giannis, your Ben Simmons. It's a positionless association now. Get the ball in Blake Griffin's hands. Let him do some fancy passes and stuff, because a lot of his highlights, he's one of the best big man assisters in the game, if not from the last sort of few years. So, and I mean, alongside of Patrick Beverley as well, I think the Clippers should still be a playoff contender. And I mean, the Suns were in that running, but, you know, the Phoenix Suns tend to be in the running for a lot of players, but no one generally signs with them. It's like, you know, who wants to move to Phoenix when you're living in LA, to be fair? Like,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he would have had a very, very, very comfortable life in LA. It would be hard to move away from such comforts. And a brilliant city to live in when you're earning, you know, $173 million over the next 5 years. LA's
not too
a
bad,
pretty
boss.
Decent place to live in when you're that rich. I mean, Blake Griffin is LA. Like, think of the Clippers, and it's Griffin, especially
he was their number one pick.
Exactly.
He's the Clippers franchise. He's one of the best Clippers players of all time.
And it's more of a good faith move than I think a positive move for the franchise. It's not bad. They're still going to be a decent team with him because he's still a very good player when he's healthy. But I think it's more of a good faith saying, hey, we love you here. We're gonna trust in your ability and we're going to sign you to 5 years with that much money. How can you say no? I mean, it's
exactly.
He took that tour down memory lane of his own personal museum. They love him there. I mean, you can't say no to that. And it's not a bad it's not a bad signing either. It's not like he was forced into it. It's still a good place to be for him.
Oh no, not at all.
So I don't mind it. Anyway, the big one, the big Steph Curry has re-signed for the Dubs, a 5-year supermax deal of $201 million, the highest paid NBA player
Steffy boy
ever. Thankfully, taking that title, I guess, away from Mike Conley, who's getting a bit worn down by it, I think. But yeah, it is the highest annual salary in the history of major American professional sports, which says a lot. That does say
a lot.
It's
a lot of money in America.
It is a lot of money. No comment here. Well deserved. 2-time MVP. Absolute pivotal part of the team. I mean, there's nothing else to say.
I think there's a tidbit to put in there, Nicholas, is the fact that Iguodala signed last night. We'll get to that signing in a little bit. Kevin Durant is still yet to sign. These guys are going to be in the luxury tax for sure. It doesn't mean much because, you know, they're going to be a contender for the next 5 years and being in that luxury tax.
They're an extremely profitable team.
Exactly. So it's just interesting to see what Kevin Durant does. He's staying. There's no doubt he's staying. It's just the length of the deal. Like, is he going to keep doing those, you know, those one-on-one deals? It seems likely. But yeah, Steph absolutely deserved. He's, you know, also the number one selling jersey above LeBron James in the NBA. So, I mean, you've got to give everything that he deserves it all. And you know, there's not many people that dislike Steph Curry. I mean, people that do, like, it's like disliking LeBron James. They haven't done anything bad. Like, they're not Kobe Bryant, where they apparently assaulted women, or they're Dennis Rodman, where they have sex with Madonna or whatever, and hang out with Kim Jong Un. Steph Curry is awesome, well deserved. Who's in the next one that made a nice re-signing? An Aussie, I hear, Nicholas. A couple of Aussies in this list.
Yes, couple. Getting paid. Bring that back down to me, please. Some Aussie pride. Spurs of Patty Mills.
You need some money, don't you, Nicholas?
I do. I am very poor. Send me, please. Patty Mills has re-signed with the Spurs. 4-year, 50. Oh, sorry, my eyes just went blurry. That was really weird. $50 million deal. Jack, thoughts, comments, queries?
Yep. Great signing for the Spurs. Patty Mills, you know, if Tony Parker's on his way, he could become the number one point guard soon. And for me, this is a bargain rate. I feel like if he explored his options a bit more, I feel like he could have rivaled what Jeff Teague could have gotten, that $19 million per year range. But, you know, he's got that security with the length of the deal. And, you know, he has such a great relationship with the Spurs organization, Greg Popovich, and, you know, all power to Patty. One of the great Australian athletes in the world right now. Great work by the Spurs. Great work to Patty. Enough said by me. What do you think, Nick?
Well, it's a very Spurs deal, isn't it? Long term, shows loyalty, not much money, and like you said, I mean, it's a more of a courtesy from Mills' perspective. It's like, hey, I love you guys. I'd love to stay around. Great organization, and it's just a deal that helps everyone.
Yeah.
So it's like I said, it's a very, very Spursy deal. And I love the sort of community that they've got there. That this is just, you know, this is normal. No worries. it would be a brilliant franchise to play for. I mean, that's...
Yeah, they're the envy of the NBA in so many ways. And this is the reason why they can sign players like Patty Mills at a bargain rate. But for someone who didn't sign at a bargain rate, I'll skip the guy who's on our list, Nicholas, because I want to have a nice segue here. Jrue Holiday re-signed with the New Orleans Pelicans for 5 years at $126 million, and that fifth year being a player option, which bewilders me for some reason. Nick, thoughts on this? There's a lot of complexities to this deal. What do you think?
I mean, I kind of feel that they had to.
Yeah,
like they were kind of cornholed into it with signing Cousins and Davis. I mean, this is their plan. It involved Jrue Holiday, and Jrue Holiday knew that, and it'd just be like, "I want as much money as you can give me." You know, it's more him taking advantage, not so much him taking advantage, but they're confident in his abilities with this team. It's only been half a season, so we still don't know. It's still fresh. But it's going to be a bit of a stretch, I think, come that fifth year.
Yeah.
When he's getting paid a crap ton of money. But you can do that. You can do that with every contract, though. Every contract that is a max deal or a near max deal. And you look at that, you look at those final years and just like, oh, you're probably gonna be a bit of a liability there. Like you're getting to towards the end. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen in 5 years. He's still young. I think he's 27, Jrue Holiday. So in 5 years, he's still going to be well in his prime. But from what I've seen, he's not going to be a super duper duper star.
And Nick, I think the point you make is valid. The fact that they were cornholed. If Jrue had have left, which there were rumblings that it could have happened. The Pelicans would have only had $13 million to sort of sign a starting point guard. And, I mean, Patty Mills did make less than that, but he was never going to sign for the Pelicans or player of that ilk was never going to sign for that sort of... They could have probably only got a player like a Darren Collison or a Ty Lawson. So you're sort of forced to pay Jrue Holiday that amount. Jrue has a great relationship with the organization following... The issues that he's had with his wife, going through some health problems, and the support that the Pelicans gave him. So, I mean, I'm happy for him. And I'm stealing this quote directly from The Ringer. Jrue Holiday got paid like a superstar. He needs to play like a superstar now. Mm. Yes, it is a very heavy Western Conference and a heavy glut in the point guards in the NBA, but, you know, he has the talent. It's just... the system and that you were talking about with Boogie and Anthony Davis, the training camp's going to be really, and the start of the season, that chemistry that they're going to have to get. That's a nice big three. You know, Jrue was a great young talent on the Philadelphia 76ers. It's just, you know, he averages 15.5 points per game, 7 assists, 45% from the field, 36 from three. Those are good stats. Mm. He's just going to have to either elevate those assist levels, elevate his efficiency, because, you know, the Pelicans, this is what they have now, and they have to do it going forward.
I'm not sure that it's any deficiencies in the players themselves. I mean, you look at those three players, and you're just like, yeah, playoff team. On paper. I think
on paper.
The system, if anything's going to fail... You know, it could be the players, but I think it would be the system. From what we saw so far, doesn't seem like it's gonna work. I mean, they weren't too crash hot after All Star break, I believe. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I don't think they got better. But yeah, I mean, like you said, it's this all important training camp, and their start is gonna be big, I think. If they can get a good start, then they'll be well on their way. You know, they silence their critics. But if they start poorly, I think the pressure's just got to mount and they could crack underneath it. Well, mate.
Sorry, mate. An ad popped up when I was looking up some stats.
Got a bit excited there. We might take a break here. We've been talking for a while. On the other side, we've got some more free agency news. Stay with us.
You're listening to JBT Podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at TheJManJBT.
Welcome back to JBT Podcast. We will start... We'll pick up where we left off with the free agency signings. The Warriors... Sean Livingston has re-signed with the Warriors for 3 years, $24 million, with a third year partially guaranteed. Jack, this was really his... This was his moment. I mean, he could have left, get that fat paycheck, but he decided to stay, showed a bit of loyalty, get some rings. What do you make of this?
I like it very much on the Warriors end, for the organization.
Yeah, great contract for the Warriors.
Oh, absolutely. He averaged 11 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds per 36 in the last 3 seasons per Basketball Reference. Those are some great stats, and he's an invaluable piece to their bench lineup alongside Andre Iguodala, who we'll get to incredibly shortly. Great move by the Warriors, and we're happy for Sean because he's had a huge injury history, but he finally was on the way up when he had that big breakout season with my Nets, and you know, I've got a soft spot for the kid because you know he used to be down in Brooklyn, and now he's out there winning championships with the Warriors. Good on him. Iggy, Nicholas, what did Andre Iguodala sign?
Re-signed. More like it. He re-signed with the... with where is he? Golden State Warriors. Of course.
That's the team.
Who could forget? 3 years, $48 million. Same sort of thing with the... with Livingston, I think. It's a good contract for Golden State Warriors. He's a very, very valuable piece on that team. And they're going to win many a championship. And he's going to end his career potentially with 4+ rings, which is incredible.
Yep.
Which is incredible.
I think he, in terms of if we're up, like comparing the Warriors to Golden State and Livingston to Iguodala contract-wise, I think Iggy got paid significantly better for his age and his production. His injury history, his age is catching up to him. Livingston, yes, is 31, but because of he's almost like gotten out all of his injuries earlier in his career, he's like playing like a 29-year-old.
That's not how injuries work, Jack.
Shut up, Nicholas. But I think Livingston has more longevity to him than Iguodala. I think that's safe to say.
The style of play doesn't translate as an old man.
Yeah,
unless you're as physically fit as LeBron James, it doesn't. You know that rough and tumble sort of play. It will. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I agree with you.
But yeah, and in the end, this is going to take the Warriors into the luxury. But you know, it's all going to be worth it because they're going to win 4 billion rings and make millions and millions of dollars. And Clay Thompson's going to be dancing in China till he dies.
The bloody...
that was
great. The shirt sales alone will cover the luxury tax. Don't you worry about that. I'm buying a Zaza shirt. There is no doubt in my mind.
I hate you. So much.
Speaking of hating people... Nah, that was a bad segue. There were some... They come and go, the segues.
You hate JJ Redick.
No, I like him. I actually do like him. He's a good shooter. Anyway, the Sixers signed him, by the way. 1 year, $23 million. The length of the contract, Jack, do you want to discuss with me the reasons for the 1 year?
Look, I'm a bit perplexed as well, Nicholas, because there were certainly other teams after him in terms of, you know, the Nets were on the radar. He could have re-signed with the Clippers for a lengthier contract, but $23 million is a lot of money for a year, and yeah. Fitting in with the Sixers, like, they're with JJ Redick, I think they're a playoff team now. They, we were saying, I think it was last week, the fact that they need shooting to complement Ben Simmons, Covington, and Markel Fultz, and a shooting guard. And this JJ Redick is one of, if not the best 3-point shooters in the NBA right now, behind, you know, Stephen Clay. I'd probably have him as the third best.
So Redick, your starting lineup is looking Fultz, Redick, Simmons, Covington.
Sure.
Saric at the four?
Saric or Covington, depending on the lineups.
Embiid. That is a... Jesus Christ, that is an amazing. That is amazing. Not to mention, everyone's bailed on the East, so, you know, it'll be easier than ever to get into that spot.
True.
Yeah, I mean, I could see this. It's crazy. It's crazy to think that the Sixers will make the playoffs this year, considering where they were 2 months ago.
Because they're trusting the process.
They are trusting the process. It is coming to fruition. This is great. I like it. I feel the length of the contract is more on the Sixers' part. So it was like, oh, we'll see how this works. More thing. But it's a lot of money just to splash on a, yeah, like you said, like a one-year deal. But it's done. That lineup is going to be very, very scary for the East. Yes.
Definitely.
So next up, last one we've got here. Well, there are some more, but... No more as exciting as this one.
Oh, baby.
Joe Thringles has re-signed with the Jazz. Keep that good Australian thing going in Utah. 4 years, $52 million. I feel this is about right for Thringles. I mean, I love him. I think he's a great player.
Yeah, he's 30 years old, so the length... But he hasn't had an extensive career in the NBA, so, I mean...
His style of play isn't exactly, you know, it
taxing.
Yeah, it's not taxing. That's right. I mean, so long as he can hit the three, he will be profitable on this team.
And he is defensive. He's the perfect sort of 3-and-D wing that the NBA wants. Plus, you know, he can pass pretty well. And I think the key here, Nick, is how this is going to affect Gordon Hayward's free agency, who we'll get to in our alternative facts segment later on. Joe Ingles is apparently Gordon Hayward's best friend in Utah. So I think re-signing him, getting Ricky Rubio, all those pieces are coming together. I want Gordon Hayward to stay a la Sam Smith style, hashtag Staywood. But, you know, his meeting with the Miami Heat, which we'll speak about, the interest he's getting from the Celtics, which we'll speak about as well. It's the chess pieces, it's certainly not checkmate for any of those teams yet. But let's move on quickly to some lesser signings, Nicholas. Who are the lesser players who made some signings and trades with some teams?
So Felicio has re-signed with the Bulls at a pretty decent deal as well. Like, I'm pretty sure he's getting paid a decent amount. They're overpaying him. I don't have the number right in front of me, but I'm fairly sure it's a very decent. Yeah, that's a decent deal. Tony Snell's re-signed with the Bucks. PJ Tucker with the Rockets. Amir Johnson has signed with the Sixers. Jose Calderon has signed with the Cavs. Too little, too late. David West has re-signed with the Warriors as well. A few of the lesser deals happening around the association. So far, and it's still a long free agency ahead as we look into some pending free agents. Are we playing alternative fact here?
Look, I reckon, Nickly, we saved the alternative facts for later on because some of these players are in our alternative facts. But for the free agents that are still remaining, and stay tuned to JBT Pod for all the latest free agent news, Kevin Durant, Gordon Hayward, Paul Millsap, Kyle Lowry, Serge Ibaka, George Hill, Rudy Gay, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Otto Porter, Danilo Gallinari, among many others. Those are your top ones that are still remaining. Plenty of deals still to be done, Nicholas. But let's get to some NBA news other than free agency.
The NBA is a big world, mate, and there is a lot happening outside of free agency. Phil Jackson is no more.
Yes!
Praise be Jesus, or... You know,
Allah.
Yeah, him. He's a top bloke. Jackson is gone. Phil Jackson is gone, and he will no longer stink up New York. Thank God.
Thank God.
In related news, Knicks are targeting Raptors president Masai Ujiri, which is interesting. Apparently, the team would also take Dennis Smith Jr. Had Phil been fired before the draft. Do I even have to ask you what, you know, of Phil Jackson's tenure at the Knicks, what would you rate it? I mean, I'm not sure if I have to ask you. It can't go negatives.
I was going to say, like, -7. But I've developed a more balanced view, Nicholas, as we do by becoming informed citizens of the world. So I've been reading up a bit on it. And yes, he's made some okay moves. But I don't think he deserves the credit for the signing of Chris Porzingis and Willy Hernan Gomez. I think that goes to his other front office members who swayed him into those, because he also wanted to trade Chris Porzingis. And he was the one who also gave Carmelo Anthony that no trade clause and wanted to push him out further than anyone. Hashtag Team Melo. He paid Joakim Noah a ridiculously outrageous contract, who is probably the worst contract in the NBA with Luol Deng's. And Courtney Lee was probably an average signing. And I mean, for the Knicks, you know, that's good. But, you know, James Dolan has had to pay out him millions and millions of dollars. He'll be making like, I read something, I think he made $660,000 per Knicks win in his tenure with the New York Knicks. Now, that's a lot of money, Nicholas. I'd take $660,000.
That is a fair chunk of cash. Oh, God. I love the fact that it just feels like it's like, fuck it. I'm getting paid. I didn't want this job in the first place. You got me in with the amount of money, and I'm just going to half-ass it.
It's George Costanza.
It is the American way. It's the American way of work, and I love it. But he's also a dick, so like it goes both
ways.
That's
the American way as well.
Exactly. that's racist. That in turn is itself. It is its own racism. Good
it
job,
is a
Jack.
Little bit, but you I mean, suck. I posted on Twitter earlier in the week, Nicholas, and I saw that you saw it. One that's been making the waves, and I'm going to take credit for this starting because I didn't see it anywhere until I started this shit. David Griffin, recently fired by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Get him to the Knicks. Make it happen. Hashtag fire Phil Jackson. I reckon he would be a perfect fit. Him or Sam Hinkie, recently fired by the Trust the Process man himself, the God himself. Those two would be absolutely perfect for the Knicks, but we've got some more rumblings about what might happen in our alternative facts section, so we'll leave the Knicks there. Before we head to a break, Sixers owner Joshua Harris said that extending Joel Embiid's contract is a priority for the team this summer. A max contract for Embiid would be 5 years at about $130 million, though the Sixers may have some leverage to negotiate that down to 4 years at about $100 million due to Embiid's injury history, a la sort of what happened with Steph Curry and the Warriors, where he signed that four-year, $44 million deal. I like that the Sixers are backing in their guy. It's going to be interesting. So, you know, definitely stay tuned for when, how this all plays out, because talent-wise, Embiid is a max player. Injury-wise, you're not going to pay him $130 million for 5 years. So I think there's definitely going to have to be some negotiation. And the Sixers have supported him through that way since he was drafted in 2014 and he didn't play. And, you know, the process has come to fruition. So I think there needs to be some goodwill on both sides. But, Nick, did you want to say anything about that before we head to a break quickly?
No, just when you're comparing any contract to that of the original Steph Curry one, you know you're in good company. He signed the highest paid contract in NBA and American sporting history. So, you know, it's good times. And it shows good faith to say, hey, we love Embiid. We want to give him the max deal. But like you said, it'll take cooperations from both sides to say, listen, you're injury prone and we'd love to have you at a reduced rate to help out the organization. And we can do that. We have the grounds to do that because you're injury fucked, more or less. To put it bluntly. But yeah, no, it's a good time to be a 76ers fan, definitely. And
break time.
Yep. With that, we will take a break and we'll have some more discussion points on the other side. Stay with us. You're listening to JBT Podcast. Be sure to give us a rating on iTunes. Welcome back to JBT Podcast. Jack, take the wheel.
Got it, mate. So last week we debuted a segment called hashtag alternative facts. So this is where we've compiled all the recent rumors, rumblings around the association, and we rate their likelihood of occurring, rating them on a scale of alternative fact, meaning, you know, very unlikely. Wikipedia fact means, you know, it's got some validity to it. You know, we might source it in an essay. To real fact, which is meaning it's going to happen.
It's a scale, so, Nick. It's a scale, Jack, that I like to call the Busink-Manuel scale.
Oh, Nicholas, we've become like, it's... you know, Einstein's theory of relativity. We
exactly,
now have
we're a thing.
Busink-Manuel scale.
We are a thing. The Busink-Manuel scale of three.
All right.
It's an extensive scale.
It doesn't have to be a big scale, you know. It's simpler. We're simple men.
Exactly.
We only like three things.
It's like, not about not about the size. It's how you use it. Isn't that right, Jack?
It's all about efficiency, and that's what we're about at JBT.
Fast efficiency. And quick.
We're all about it, Nicholas. So let's do some fast and quick alternative facts. Gordon Hayward had a meeting with the Miami Heat last night that reportedly went very well. Posted on their Facebook, I'm sure some of our listeners have seen. Hassan Whiteside was in attendance, Pat Riley. You know, it seemed like there's a strong likelihood that he may head to South Beach. Nicholas, where does this rate on the Busink-Manuel scale?
You're making yourself sound Spanish there, mate, and I like it for the context of the scale. I like it because your name's too bogan. So the Busink-Manuel scale is much better.
All right.
But I'd have to give this a hashtag alternative fact.
Alternative?
Alternative. Mate. Not even a Wikipedia. If he goes somewhere, he's going to the Celtics, but he's not going anywhere. Mate, this is a definitive scale. And you ask me, this isn't some opinion.
Manuel scale. So can't I, like, isn't my input, like, aren't there two points of the scale? Like, you have your little blue circle, I have a little bit of a red circle.
Don't discuss the science between the scale. You don't know how it works.
You mentioned the scale about 40 seconds ago, but but on my end of the scale, I'm putting this in Wikipedia. I reckon there's... The Miami Heat are a Spurs-like organization where players want to go, they want to play. I think there's some serious validity in it, and the presentation apparently revolved around highlighting Gordon Hayward as being like a legit scorer, being he already is, but like taking that game to the next level. He'd make the Miami Heat an infinitely better team. They'd have a nice sort of young-ish big three with Hassan Whiteside, Goran Dragic, and Gordon Hayward that would fit together quite perfectly and seamlessly. So I'm giving this Wikipedia, mate. And whether it's like, you know, one of those Wikipedia pages that can be edited by anyone, like, you know, changing the fact that, like, you know, Peter Griffin is the real David Griffin or something, like, you know, how randos can just edit the page, or whether this is like, you know, an official Wikipedia, it's leaning more in the middle. So I'm not as alternative as you, mate. I'm going with Wiki. So what's the next one we got? We got some Knicks news we said we were going to get to.
Isaiah Thomas. Zeke has been rumoured to take a position in the Knicks front office. Recently been left there. Just from the tweet he came out, this is hashtag alternative fact for me. I mean, he's happy where he is. There's no reason.
That's alternative as like listening to the Smiths on a rainy Sunday in London. It's alternative as shit.
Exactly. Exactly. Is that all there needs to be said? I mean, he's not going. I mean, how did this rumor start?
It was brought up by New York media. And I mean, it's New York media, so what do you expect? But to quote his tweet, we'll quote it and we'll move on. Isaiah Thomas Zeke came out and said, "I'm not interested in joining at New York Knicks. I'm happy with the New York Liberty." Which is, I believe, is it the D-League or the women's franchise? I'm not sure. And NBA TV. I wish the best for the Knicks and Phil Jackson. Nice little wish for the Phil Jackson there, because I think Phil's going to be fine. Zeke, he's going to be fine. But yeah, Griffin, Ujiri, who I think is less likely, and Sam Hinkie look a lot more likely to take over from Phil Jackson. Nicholas, another one which came up last night. I chucked it in. Rudy Gay to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Following a very cryptic tweet from Enes Kanter. League sources tell Enes Kanter, shocked face emoji, there's a photo of Rudy Gay having a locker next to Russell Westbrook. Nicholas, where does this rate? This one's an intriguing scale rating, I believe. I'm not sure where it goes.
You give me this before the photo comes out, and I'm just like, what are you doing? Get out. Get out.
Get out.
But the... God, why? Why, Enes? Why?
Because his name's Enes.
Enes. Enes, mate. It's Enes.
I call him Enes.
It's Enes. Enes Kanter.
I'm going to look it up on Wikipedia. Speaking of Wikipedia, I'm going to look it up on Wikipedia. But you keep talking about...
It just
about
undermines
the photo, like...
the whole... Anyway. No. Oh, yeah, but yes. I'm not making much. I'm not making much sense. I think it's more. I think it's more ironed on than that. Hashtag fact. Wait,
that's the first fact we've got of the day.
Sure. Why? Why would this? I just don't know why he would post a photo like this. Like, why would OKC go to this much trouble? I don't know. If this doesn't happen, either something majorly has fallen through, or it's just like some big joke. I'm not laughing, Enes. It's not funny.
But to be fair, the other team that's had some really strong interest in Gay services is the San Antonio Spurs. So I think there's some. I think it's a battle between two because I literally had to edit the doc last night after Iguodala signed his contract because Rudy Gay was also receiving some interest from the Golden State Warriors if Iguodala were to leave. But Nicholas, I've got a YouTube video I'm going to play very quickly. It says how to pronounce Enes Kanter. So let me know if you hear this, mate.
Enes Kanter.
See? Enes.
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 But let me see. There's another one that's... Go to the next rumor for me and while I find this video.
All right. Why would people watch? I guess we're literally the ones watching them right now.
This one's had 3,000 views, so clearly people don't know how to say his name.
I don't get that. 3,000. All right, anyway.
Before we move on.
All right.
Enes Kanter.
Enes Kanter.
He's not French. We are calling him Enes Kanter from now on.
Kanter. Oh, love it. Anyway.
All right. Moving on. Nicholas, this one relates so much for you and me. We might dedicate a whole podcast to this. How long we got?
Not long, mate. not long enough. No time is long enough to talk about the Wizards and the Nets. Less so the Nets. But Otto Porter to the Nets. Mate, I'm giving this one a cheeky Wikipedia. Hashtag Wikipedia fact. I feel that he might want to know what it's like to be in the limelight, perhaps.
Yeah. Yep.
That'd literally be the only reason why he would leave.
I mean, we can offer them probably more money as well. We've got max room to offer.
Yeah,
it's basically
true.
The strong rumors that have related to my Nets have been Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Otto Porter offering max deals to either of them. Now, I wouldn't mind either.
He's not a max guy, though.
Look, neither of them are max guys, but we need to give that money to someone. And, you know, we're not going to get Gordon Hayward. We're not going to get Kevin Durant. And they're both young prospects. Otto Porter, on the plus side, is one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA, percentage-wise. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is one of the best young defenders in the NBA, but his jump shot certainly needs to be improved. But with Kenny Atkinson, who's known as being one of the best player development coaches in the NBA previously with the Knicks, I feel like he could take Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and make him a legit three-point shooter. But I'll also give it a cheeky wiki, Nicholas, a cheeky wiki, because there's definitely some legitimacy to it. But whether it happens remains to be seen. You know, stay tuned. I'm sure next week when free agency starts to cool down a little bit, we may have some more news relating to that. But a big, big name in terms of the NBA circles, Derrick Rose to the Spurs. So according to Bleacher Report and the Daily News, he is a long shot to resign with the Knicks. But then yesterday, I got a Bleacher Report notification saying that the Knicks are strongly interested in resigning him. Nicholas, we need to make it Buzik Manuel scale. Let's define it. Where is it? The people need to know.
Hashtag alternative fact.
Ooh,
for the Spurs.
So,
I somehow, it's more gut feeling than anything, I somehow feel that that Knicks will re-sign him. Just the fact that they've shown interest in it, which baffles me. Yeah. I've got no idea why they would want him. But the fact that they've come out and said we want to re-sign him, I think that Rose will just take it.
Yeah,
be like, yeah, shit, New York's a good place to live in.
And I think the Phil dominoes Jackson's around gone. Him... Yeah, and I think the dominoes around him that have fallen. Jeff Teague was reportedly rumored to be strongly interested by the Knicks. He's signed with the Timberwolves. Patty Mills has signed with the Spurs. He is a much better player and on a much better contract than you're likely to offer Derrick Rose. He said earlier in the season he was wanting a max. There's no way any team is going to offer that to him. I think by process of elimination, this is almost a real fact for the Knicks. The fact that he's going to stay because they've gotten no other real options. They've wanted Larry for so long, but I don't think they're going to pay him or don't think they can afford him. George Hill will gauge some interest because he's a very good player, but I don't think he's going to be interested in moving from the Jazz or, like, let alone the Jazz to the Knicks. I don't see where he fits in. So I think, yeah, we've sort of come to agreements with that. But we've got two more, Nicholas. Carmelo Anthony, you know, he's been wanting out of New York for quite a while, but that no-trade clause has been a big sort of clause that has kept him there, and he doesn't want to go unless...
You could say, you could say, Jack, that the no-trade clause is a clause in which there will be no trade. That is exactly how you phrased it. It's like, the no trades clause is a clause in which he won't be traded. It's like, well, yes,
hey,
Jack, that's exactly what a no trade clause is.
Some people might have thought that it was a Santa Claus trade, Nicholas. You know, there's different clause meanings out there. All right, we need to define it. This is the defining segment for us.
You're informing the people, Jack. Good job.
All right, Murray to the Rockets. Where is it on our scale, Nicholas?
Not high. Can they even afford him?
If he wants to go, it
obviously
all depends
they'd have to. But would they have to move some money around for him? I guess they offloaded a shit ton of people. So,
and after signing PJ Tucker, he was on a bargain deal anyway. It was only $32 million over 4 years. But I think if Melo were to go anywhere, it's more likely that I think he would head to the Cavs. You know, the whole Kevin Love for Melo thing has been a rumor for, you know, a year basically. But I think
but
he's
then
more
I'm,
likely
I'm giving
to
it a hashtag alternative fact. He's not leaving the Knicks.
Yeah, I don't think he's leaving the Knicks.
He'll see out the rest of his contract. He will not waive that no trade clause. Phil Jackson's gone. Problem solved. That was the defining factor for me. I mean, there's no reason for him to leave now. He clearly has no desire of winning, as he would have left a long time ago. He just likes it in New York. He's having fun. Let him go. That is all.
I think we have a nice segue, Nicholas. Have you? Do you want to take it? I like the nice segue, but I feel like
segue with Melo staying with the Knicks. LeBron and CP3 to the Knicks in 2018, pending their free agency. Oh, CP3 is not a free agent. He just got signed.
Yeah.
Yep. Pending their free agency. What do you reckon?
And we're going to get up a Facebook post once Chaz does a Photoshop for us, because I think this could get some serious traction. And it was a rumor brought up by Jalen Jacoby. the whole rumor of the Banana Boat squad joining forces. D-Wade's in Miami right now. CP3's out in Houston with James Harden. LeBron's out in Cleveland.
Wade is Chicago.
Dwayne Wade's in Chicago. Sorry, my bad. He's in Chicago. I think that I'm putting this as Wikipedia. I'm not. This ain't alternative, mate.
Yeah, this is alternative for me.
It's not real because there's so much things that have to happen, but it's not completely alternative that it will. There is no chance of it happening. There is chance of it happening, Nicholas.
There is no reason why, at that point, James Dolan, let's just say at this point, would want an aging. I'm sure they're still going to be really good. Obviously LeBron and CP3, they're not going to fall off a bridge right now. If they try to bring back a banana boat squad in Dwayne Wade and keep Melo there, they're not going to be a good team. They're not going to be great.
Yeah,
and I don't think LeBron's going to settle for that either.
But would that team? I mean, the rumor has been LeBron to the Lakers. But wouldn't he prefer to be in the East where he is still going to dominate the conference? And if he had CP3, D-Wade and Melo alongside him, that's still going to be the best team in the East by a country mile.
He is going to... Will it?
Yeah, well, okay, the Celtics, unless...
We're talking next year, 2018 season, so the start not this coming season, the season after... A 76ers not going to be a force to be reckoned with in the East?
The Bucks would be as well. Bucks, the Celtics.
The Wizards, hello.
But shut up, Nicholas. The Wizards, unless you guys somehow get Paul George after this year, then you got no chance, mate. And, you know, John Wall can sign as much money as he wants. It ain't happening. I think there's some legitimacy to it happening. I mean, a lot has to fall into place. I mean, there's already some rumblings that LeBron isn't happy with Dan Gilbert after the Griffin firing, and, you know, they haven't picked up anyone in free agency. They're still the best team in the East right now, but, you know, like we said, the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Sixers are on the come up. Moves need to be made for LeBron to still be, you know, the best in the NBA, because the Golden State Warriors are far and above beyond everyone else. So I think it's more likely that he goes to the Knicks with his boys than he goes to the Lakers with Paul George. That's just me.
He's going to I'm talking specifically for LeBron. He's going to make the best decision to win him another ring, and I do not see the Knicks being that decision.
Do you think, in terms of the Knicks or the Lakers rumor, what do you think is more likely to happen? I think it's the Knicks, like I said, but what do you think?
I don't know. He could take on the West. I mean, I can see that happening. He's been forever an East dude. This will be a new challenge for him, and it'll be the ultimate victory if he can win the West. Like, he was the man who conquered everyone, you know. It writes a good story. Whether he wants to do that or not, I mean, that's another story. If I was in LeBron's shoes, I would. I would want to try and conquer the West at the moment, because I know I'm the greatest player in the world, possibly of all time. Why not try and achieve everything, you know? That's just me. I try to win as many rings as I can, and I just don't see the Knicks being that force in the next 4 years.
Yeah, watch this space. I feel like it's a watch this space Wikipedia fact that could happen. But we got one more DP, Nicholas.
Is this our ending DP, or?
This is our ending DP of the week, my friend.
Final one. I'm getting goosebumps. All right.
Getting goosebumps.
There was a poll put out by ESPN, NBA ESPN, saying who is the best backcourt in the NBA, and this is something that warrants some discussion. So we've got Chris Paul and James Harden, Curry Thompson, John Wall and Bradley Beal, or video game Dame and 3J McCollum. Only the four there. Obviously, there are only a finite amount of things you can put in a poll. But, okay, you discuss yours, because I think I've got a bit more bias in me than I thought.
Oh, wow. Surprise! It's going to be like Wall and Bill and who like number one, and then everyone else is just number two. Like, that's just all it is for you. I'm going to rank... firstly, we'll go to the results of the poll ESPN posted on Twitter, and then I'll discuss my top four. So the poll had Curry and Thompson getting 36% of the vote. Chris Paul and James Harden garnered 31%. Your boys came third, Wall and Beal with 17%. And just behind them, Lillard and McCollum with 16%. I would probably rank it the same as this poll has, where Curry and Thompson are number one, Chris Paul and James Harden are number two, Wall and Beal are number three, and Lillard and McCollum are number four. Lillard and McCollum, I feel like this stat is, and the results are very reflective of what I think as well. Chris Paul and James Harden could become the best backcourt in the NBA because right now they are probably the two best point guards in the NBA. I think Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson are your best pure point guard, pure shooting guard combination. Wall and Beal certainly are on the come up in that regard. Shut up, you farting bastard. But they're my top four. Stop laughing. Nick, your bias, can you be objective in this DP?
It's so hard to put Paul and Harden. Like, it's not fair to put Paul and Harden there. They haven't played a single game together.
But they're the two best point guards in the NBA. They are.
And I'm saying I would put them higher than Curry Harden and Thompson because their ceiling is tremendous. Like that team.
Did you say you would put your boys above Curry and Thompson?
I said that I've got a bit more bias in me than I thought. I'm not crazy. I'm not insane. I would put Paul and Harden, but it's so hard to say. You know, I wouldn't even put. You can't put them in this poll at all, for me. It's too hard to say because. Currently, I would put them above Curry and Thompson because, you know, I've got this massive hype around this team. Their ceiling is huge. It's just a matter of, you know, you put Anthony Davis and Boogie on the same team and everyone loses their minds. But, you know, realistically, can they work together? How do the minutes distribute? How's the system with these new players? A lot of things can change that, and we haven't seen anything, so it's so hard to rank these. So I'm not going to. I'm taking a strike.
You're literally refusing to rank them. I'm
going Paul and Harden one. I would say
big polls.
Fuck it. Paul and Harden, mate. You're gonna let me speak, or are you gonna continue being a throbbing dick?
I feel like this is like some Fox News shit. We're just like battling over each other. Nick, you are wrong. It's Donald Trump. He is the greatest president of all time.
God, I hate you. Paul and Harden at number one. Curry and Thompson two. But not far behind them is Wall and Beal.
Surprise, surprise.
Hey, they had a tremendous playoffs. It's the same thing that happened to the Raptors' backcourt. They had that amazing playoffs and they had that amazing next regular season. Do you remember when that happened last season?
I did.
Who knows what will happen with these two? I mean, these guys could become the best backcourt in at least the East. Well, definitely the East.
I think Lillard and McCollum are going to be the most underrated duo.
Oh, definitely. Like, definitely. Definitely. Like, definitely. They have forever flown under the radar. But it's more the fact that they haven't achieved much.
I mean, because Damian Lillard's never going to get an All-Star again now. Like, he's just not. Like, Chris Paul.
Oh, not with that. Not with Paul George, not with all everything that's happened in the East now. And he's still a fantastic player, which is really sad. And when, you know, time will really take a hit on Lillard because of, you know, his stats might be incredible, but the lack of all-stars, the lack of, you know, acclaim, really, other than people like ourselves who are witnessing it firsthand, you know. 20 years down the track, who knows if people will still know Lillard's name.
And, I mean, we can give a little bit of a preview for next week. We might do our best duo as we posted it last week. But in terms of all-time, they have the potential to be one of Portland's all-time best duos. But just quickly, Nicholas, before we, on that, the whole all-star in the West, two of these players aren't going to make it. Stephen Curry, Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, CP3, Russell Westbrook, Paul George, Marcus Stoll, Jimmy Butler, Towns, Davis, Cousins, Lillard. How do you like eliminate one of those players? Like
Gasol and Lillard.
Yeah, probably.
You said two players, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, Gasol and Lillard.
But
it's only the fact, like, theirs are still amazing. Those are still two brilliant players. Marcus Ole kind of transformed himself this year. So if he does... Yeah, exactly. If he does more of the same, I don't think it'll be looked upon as favorably. But because it was his first season, it was like, whoa, where did this come from? And Lillard gets shafted every goddamn year. I mean, look at... Did you mention Conley?
No, I did not.
Exactly.
As well,
so. I mean, like, Conley in there as well.
How stacked the West is. And I'm writing
another first, very like, underrated guard. I mean, his contract doesn't scream underrated, but yeah.
No,
anyway,
I mean, the contract is valid now, but you know, we're waffling on Nicholas. We should end this.
We are. Nothing more you wanted to add? You add that little tidbit at the end. That's it.
Yeah, just a couple of things. I've got a new article this week, Memphis Grizzlies off-season preview, which will certainly be interesting with Zebo, Vince Carter, all those guys out of contract. And also, Nicholas, while we were recording, we hit 1,000 likes.
Woo!
Yeah, baby. Even though my own brother and your own best friend unliked our page, we are at 1,000 likes. So, and he promised he would like us once we hit 1,000. So get on your
1,001.
Your big lug Justin Bieber looking bastard. So, yeah, that's all I wanted to say. Thank
beautiful,
you so much to all our Facebook fans.
Beautiful stuff. Just as ever, guys, thank you so much for downloading and listening to this episode of Just Ball Things NBA podcast. You can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or any decent pod center. And remember to rate and review the show because it'll help others find us to help add to the conversation. If you want to get in contact with us or with the show, you can hit us up on Twitter at JBT Podcast or using hashtag JBT Pod. You can get in contact with us personally on Twitter at JBTRealNJ is myself and at TheJManJBT is Jack. You can reach us on Facebook, as many of you have. Keep on doing that. Facebook.com/JBTPodcast or also through email at JBTPodcast@gmail.com. Remember, it's you guys that make this show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week.
Eunice Cantor. Eunice Cantor.